Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, the fourth chapter, beginning with verse 4. These familiar words are often the epistle lesson for the Sunday after Christmas. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. 1995, there was a horrific bombing in Oklahoma City, and a domestic terrorist, Timothy McVeigh, planted a truck right in front of the federal building and blew up the federal building and took many, many lives. And along with that, killed 19 little babies, little children, who were in the daycare near the bottom of that building. There were six of the preschoolers that survived and had to be found and dug out of the rubble. And there were some tremendous rescue efforts that were sent in to try to find these little children. One of them was a two-year-old boy who was pulled out of the rubble, and he had multiple broken bones. 55% of his body had been burned, and he had to be hospitalized for over 3 months following that bombing. And yet, because of his age as a two-year-old, he didn't even really remember it. He really didn't know much about it at all. He got older. He started to find out about what a horrific event this really was. And some of the other preschool children, as I said, there were six that survived, would later meet. They're now in their mid-20s. And they would talk about how this was an event that happened when they were so young that they really didn't even know it. And they didn't realize the devastation that it had caused. They didn't realize by the time they were aware of things that it had all been kind of covered up, and there was now a nice park there and everything. And so they just didn't have the horrific nature, if you will, of this event that they had come out of. One of them said, "It wasn't really until high school that dawned on me how significant it was." Of like the fall into sin for us, even though we weren't present in the Garden of Eden, the effects of that fall into sin, the devastation of that fall, we maybe tend to underestimate just how serious and dramatic those effects really have been. Sometimes we think of the story of the Garden of Eden like a cute little story and the snake and all of that. Teach it to children, and we have kind of a childlike understanding of it, and maybe sometimes think of it in a light of a fashion as to how significant this was and the tragic event that this truly was on humanity. And it finally, just like with those children, finally having to be shown video of what happened when they were little kids, so it is with God, with his holy word. God has to come to us through this word and explain to us just how devastating this fall has been on humanity and what it means for us and how it's affected us. We'll hear people sometimes say, well, I sure don't deserve that. I think I would deserve better. Realize if God really gave us what we deserved, what we would have. Or sometimes we think about sin in such a light way that, well, I sinned a few times today. I remember after a study years ago, we'd gone through the commandments, and a young lady, probably in her late 30s, came up to me and she said, man, based upon your Bible study these past 10 weeks, I would think that we're just sinning all the time. I said, yeah, that's the case. We take our sins, even a Christian like that, we can just take our sins so lightly. So when we really see, by God's law, the effects of this devastating event that has taken place in history, and how dramatically it has impacted us. God says through Scripture, every intent of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually. That's even talking about Christians, like right now by us, if it's not for God's work in us. Every intent of the thoughts of man's heart is only evil continually, constantly. That's from God's perspective. That's what his law actually says about us. Back when those children were finally rescued, it wasn't until a while later that they realized how serious the effort had to be to rescue them and how many people were involved. How many millions of dollars ended up being involved rescuing them, and then the medical procedures they had to go to come out of all of this. Many of them didn't realize how tremendous that effort had been until years and years later. God, through his holy word, comes to us and explains this rescue effort that has rescued you and me from the devastating effects of this fall into sin. And all three persons of the Trinity are involved. We can see that right in our text. St. Paul says, God the Father sent forth his Son. God the Father is really who Christmas is about, the giver of the gift, the one who sends his Son into the world to redeem us. Martin Luther summarized it so beautifully in one of the verses of his hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. He spoke to his beloved Son, 'Tis time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow set him free. Slay bitter death for him, that he might live with thee forever. And so God the Father put this plan into action, the rescue effort. And he sends his Son into the world through the womb of a virgin, that this little baby now born from her would be both true man and true God. It couldn't be an angel to redeem you and me. It couldn't be an animal. It couldn't be an army. It would take human blood. It couldn't take a ghost. It had to be a living, breathing human being who could crawl underneath that same law that crushes you and me and stand up to it. The severity of God's justice on our wicked, fallen condition did not allow God to just say, well, boys will be boys. Everybody's just okay, and I guess I'll kind of overlook their sin. God wouldn't be a just God if that was the case. He would end up not being God as a just God. It would deny his very characteristics as God. Justice had to be served. It demanded it. And so he had to force his own Son in human form to crawl underneath the demands of that law that crushes you and me in order to redeem us, to buy us back, to purchase us back into God's good favor. He says here to redeem those who were under the law. Now, the fact that you and I know about this, the fact that you and I have heard this, the fact that we've been baptized into this and been blessed with the knowledge of this, also involves the third person of the Trinity. St. Paul says, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And this is where Christmas touches you. Isn't it interesting? Into our minds or into our bodies, but into our hearts. The Holy Spirit has been sent into your heart. It's not something you did. The Holy Spirit, by his activity, has flown down into your heart through the gospel, has touched you with the knowledge of your Savior. God always describes conversion from his perspective. He is the worker. He is the doer. And hearts, your heart is where faith lives. Your heart is what now grabs onto what Jesus has done and says, isn't that wonderful? I need that. Something dramatic has happened because of this. Something that connects you all the way back to that first Christmas. Listen to what Paul says. Because this has taken place inside of you, he says, you are no longer a slave, but a son, a child, an heir. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Just for a moment, think what that means, to be heirs of heaven, that we get to inherit eternal life in heaven. An heir possesses something just by a present and by a gift. Maybe right now you're waiting to inherit something. There is nothing that compares to the inheritance that is waiting for you because God has worked out this rescue plan for you. Now, just like those children that survived that blast and later on in life have now come to realize the tremendous rescue effort, and so grateful for that, do now appreciate it in a whole different way and on a whole different level. Someday when you and I, by God's grace, actually go into heaven, think how we're going to appreciate the whole rescue effort. How he sent his son, how Christ lived for us, died for us, rose again, and how the Holy Spirit grabbed your heart and gave you faith to cause you to believe in this. Just think how tremendously we're going to appreciate that whole plan when we finally see the ultimate goal of it. And so in the meantime, as we think about the Trinity being put in place to do this whole rescue for us, every time we say the words, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, may it take on a whole new meaning for us, thinking what Christmas has brought to us. Peace be with you. Amen.